Here we go. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Thursday, June the 13th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm Tom Baker, and with me is my good friend, Pastor Wes Reimnitz. Good morning, Wes.
Good morning, Tom. It's hard to believe we're almost halfway through June already.
Oh, start buying your Christmas presents.
Time to start shopping.
Boy, I tell you. We got an email from a Mark Creech who talks about the subject, how do you properly worship God? He starts his article off by reminding us that in 1989, the newspaper, the Chicago Tribune, published their top photos of the decade. What was one image taken by Michael Fryer?
Well, it shows a somber fireman and a paramedic as they carry a fire victim away from the scene.
Yes. That fire occurred in Chicago in December 1984. It initially appeared to be a routine incident, but what did the firefighters find when they got in the house?
Well, they found the bodies of a mother and her five children in the kitchen of an apartment.
And what did they believe?
Well, they believed that she could have escaped with two or three children, but couldn't decide whom to pick from.
And so she chose to what?
Well, she chose to wait with them all for firefighters to come, and all of them died from smoke inhalation.
A good example about not leaving those you love behind. And that's why we believe in Jesus Christ. Did he leave us behind?
No, he didn't. You know, reading that reminds me of John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Exactly. So, according to the Bible, how come mankind left God behind?
Well, mankind fell from God because of Adam and Eve, you know, in the garden. God created them and placed them in this paradise, allowed them to eat from any tree except the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
But tempted by the serpent, what did Eve do?
Well, Eve ate the forbidden fruit and shared it with Adam. This act of obedience introduced sin into the world.
And led to what?
Well, separation from God and expulsion from the Eden is the onset of suffering and death.
Yes. And as humanity expanded, people continued to stray further from God, leading to widespread wickedness and corruption. Can you give examples of notable events?
Well, it's interesting that he brings up Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4 and the pride that Cain had in killing his brother Abel, and also
right.
Noah's time that God was displeased with how the world was going at that time.
And what did that result in?
Well, that, of course, was the flood that encircled the whole earth.
And how about a construction?
Well, the construction is the Tower of Babel. And it's interesting. I saw a documentary on that not long ago. Of course, this God spread the languages across the land, and archaeologists were able to show that the pyramids that came up later were very much like the one that would have been in Babel.
Yep. So this continued disobedience and idolatry that set the stage for God to do something.
Well, that was, of course, Moses and Israel and the Ten Commandments through Moses on Mount Sinai. While the first commandment emphasized the need to recognize and worship only God. In other words, you shall have no other gods before me.
Yes. And if we take a look at other nations, their nature of religion varied widely. They had periods of monotheistic worship of the one true God, interspersed with polytheism and henotheism. Worship encompassed venerating celestial bodies, natural elements, various animals, and a wide array of man-made idols. Now, sometimes a nation would worship only one God, but what would they also acknowledge?
Well, they would acknowledge the gods of other nations to be as real as their God. That's interesting. You know, Daniel chapter 3, the story of the three men in the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar knew that there were many religions, and he was trying to get them to come to that idol. And, of course, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said no.
Yes. So the giving of the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai marked a significant moment in religious history. The first commandment not only forbade the worship of many gods, but what did it require?
Well, that you serve him.
In other words, the exclusive worship of the one and only true God.
Yes. And in reading through this, it kind of brings back the problems that we have today of the many gods that are out there.
Yes. Why is the first commandment a priority?
Well, it makes no other gods before me. And it begins with God. And if people believe in all kinds of gods, then the necessity, it sets up God is the person on our list.
Yes. If men believe in gods at all, what will they necessarily wish?
You got me on that one.
It is necessary to begin with God for the very simple reason that if men believe in gods at all, they will necessarily wish to be like the gods in whom they believe. And therefore, the kind of gods they believe in will make all the difference to the kind of life which they will live. So it's a first necessity to get the idea of God right. Because if he doesn't, what will man quite inevitably become?
Well, he becomes like the God he worships. For instance, if God is a licentious God, he will become a licentious person. If he worships a hard, stern God, then he will be hard, stern. And if he worships a sentimentalized God, he'll be like some sentimentality idea of God, of religion.
Now, it's from here that ethics take its start, and that's what is moral and what is immoral. In other words, a man's God dictates what?
His conduct, consciously or unconsciously.
Yes. One of the great problems, however, that people have believing in God, worshiping, and following his commandments is because he is what?
He's invisible.
And yes.
To show that he hasn't left the world without evidence of his existence. So.
Yeah, the late Dr. Billy Graham wrote that he felt there were many arguments he could marshal to give evidence of the existence of God. And he used reason. For example, whatever is in motion must what?
Be moved by another. For the motion is the response of matter to power.
Yes. And then there's the argument that says nothing can be the cause of itself. It would be prior to itself if it caused itself to be. And that is an absurdity. Mm-hmm. This is why we don't believe in evolution. Because it became, according to the evolutionists, it became prior to itself. Then what's the law of life that Graham talked about?
There's the law of life. We see objects that have no intellect, such as stars and planets, moving constantly in a consistent pattern, cooperating with one another. Hence, it's evident that they achieved their movements not by accident, but by design.
Right. So whatever lacks intelligence, like stars, suns, planets, etc., cannot move intelligently. He gives the example, an arrow would be useless without what?
Without the bow, and then of course you need the archer. You know, I tried to prove evolution one time. I took a watch and all its parts and threw it up in the air because there was a million to one chance that it might come by itself. I had to give up after five times.
So you separated a watch from its parts, threw it up in the air, and when it came down, it didn't return to a watch.
Didn't return to a watch. And after five times, I had to give up because the parts started to break.
Yeah. Now, I'm not so, shall we say, confident about proving the existence of God through reason.
Right.
What's the primary reason that God uses something to reveal himself?
Well, he uses to reveal himself through the scriptures, is through the Bible.
Yes. And so, according to 2 Timothy 3:16-17, what do we believe about the Bible?
Well, 16 and 17 say all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and for training in righteousness, that a man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So it reveals to us who Jesus is. And Jesus was God wrapped in human flesh.
And that's particularly our evidence that God is true. And what was the purpose of Jesus?
Well, his purpose was to show that God is what God actually was like. And Christ reveals God's love, his righteous character, and God's plan of salvation of restoring mankind to himself.
So if you want to get the right understanding of God, how do you find that?
In the written word of God, the living word of God, Jesus Christ, and we are able to get a right understanding of God.
Now, the problem is with sinful man, his vision or comprehension of God has often been erroneous. What do some ancient religions, what do they involve?
Well, secretive rituals and esoteric knowledge believe that they grant divine favor or enlightenment. These practices were only available to certain groups of the initiates of their religion.
Yes. In contrast, the scriptures emphasize the what of God?
The accessibility of God, the straightforward, the open proclamation of divine truth. God hides nothing from us in terms of our life and salvation.
So with many ancient gods, what did they have as moral codes?
Well, some gods demanded human sacrifices or endorsed gluttony or drunkenness or prostitution as something sacred.
But the scriptures make it clear about what concerning these practices?
Well, these practices are opposed by the one true God. To live by the wrong view of a deity is idolatry, and inevitably leads to the destruction way of living.
Yes. The late R.C. Sproul, he noted how idolatrous behavior is sometimes played out nowadays. What did he say?
Well, it's certainly encountered by the view that God is so widespread. God is somewhat reduced in scope from the biblical portrait that we have of him. He is seen as sort of a celestial grandfather who is benevolent in every respect and whose chief characteristic and sometimes only attribute is the attribute of love.
Now, we know that the Bible certainly puts a lot of emphasis on the love of God, and even goes so far as to say that God is love. But when we just put that as the only characteristic of God, what are we in grave danger of doing?
Well, we're stripping God of the fullness that is revealed in the scriptures.
Yeah. So, for example, what do we obscure?
Well, the holiness of God, or the wrath of God, or the justice of God. You know, you just sort of pick and choose the attributes that you want to have of him.
And that's really happening today in our country. where people who have left the church pick and choose the view of God that they appreciate, and therefore the morality comes from that. And that is why they are pro-abortion, pro-homosexuality, etc. For they've exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And therefore, we are worshiping a God who is in fact what?
Well, who's a lie. Worshiping a God that's an idol. If it's not made of wood or stone or brass, no one, the concept of God we worship is a concept that agrees with who God is.
So you have false claims of divinity against Jesus' validated claims. Many individuals have claimed even to be divine or incarnations of God. The pharaohs of Egypt, Roman emperors, and others like Jim Jones, who claimed to be the reincarnation of Christ. Sun Ming Moon, what did he say he was?
Yeah, he was interesting. He said he was the second coming of Christ. And there was Father Divine who claimed to be God incarnate.
But none of these people perform miracles comparable to that of Christ. What were some of the miracles that he did?
Well, there was his first miracle of turning water into wine and feeding the 5,000 and healing masses of sick people. And, of course, raising the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead, if you remember.
And he demonstrated control over natural elements, such as calming a storm with one command. And he raised himself from the dead. So, no teachings were ever so sublime or ever so life-altering as the teachings of Jesus Christ. What did they emphasize?
I think it's important that they emphasize love, grace, and forgiveness. They offered a transformative experience where lost and broken humanity can reconnect with God through faith alone.
Rather than what?
Well, then adhering to laws and rituals, we've often broke it down into that there's just two religions, man's religion and God's religion. Man's religion requires you to do something to be saved. God's religion is he's already done it all for us through Christ.
Yes, it's the difference between law and gospel. It's a teaching that no longer stresses that you are saved by climbing your way back to God, but rather that God climbs his way back to us in grace and mercy to rescue a perishing race. So what is Christ's radical message?
Well, it's a message of loving one's enemy, turning the other cheek. The unmasked Beatitudes challenge the conventional wisdom and moral standards. We covered that a couple of weeks ago with the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus is the Sermon on the Mount.
And in fact, Jesus saves us from the Sermon on the Mount because it demands perfection. So that's why the first commandment is so important. Many say they believe in God. They say they love God. But they rarely think of what?
Well, the rulers, they don't practice his commandments. They don't characteristically leave, ignore, and neglect what they love. Instead, they serve it, willing to serve it sacrificially.
Such is what the first commandment calls everyone to do. And what's the first commandment again?
Well, you should have no other gods before me.
Which means what?
Nothing. Well, nothing should take first place over the Lord. No perverse passions, no personal idols or self-created deity.
No exaltation of human reasoning above God's revelation of himself and his will. No aspirations or plans, no parent, spouse, or child, no possessions, no God except the God of the Bible. And that's the God of the Old Testament and the New Testament. And who is that God?
Well, it's the God of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's take precedence in one's life, any time or any manner, to remember Jesus is first.
All right. Thanks so very much in helping us to understand how one properly worships God by first finding out who is the true God and what he desires us to do. Stay tuned for tomorrow's broadcast, where we will continue with Law and Gospel. I'm Tom Baker, Wes Reimnitz. God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.